What is up, freaks? Changing up a little bit this week. We are currently at our annual 1031 retreat. We do this every year. We bring all the founders of the different companies in the 1031 portfolio. And we throw a closed doors event for about 3 days where everyone enjoys each other's company, collaborates, gets to know each other better. And I have our good friend Milian here, CEO of Primal, founder. How's it going, sir?
What's up, freaks? I'm going great.
I hope the audio quality is not too horrible. I think it'll be decent. But we figured it was still worth it to have a chat.
100%.
So what do you want to talk about?
I don't know, Primal maybe?
Fair enough. What do you think of the retreat? This is your third year, right?
This is my third year here. Very high quality, high signal event. Seems that the events are getting better by the year. The level of signal is increasing, so that's good. And it's just good to hang out with everybody, you know, informally, shoot the shit, brainstorm. A lot of good things come out of it usually.
We had an open discussion that I led today about how many Bitcoiners there are in the world and how we can increase that amount. I thought you had some unique thoughts on it. How do you think about it?
Well, first we had some kind of trouble defining what a Bitcoiner is, yeah, right? And depending on how you do that, you come up with vastly different numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, on the one extreme, you can count everybody who has a Coinbase account or who has like some money in a Bitcoin ETF. And that seems to be in the tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions, like seem to be kind of one extreme. And the other extreme is the one you set up with at least one BTC in self-custody.
Well, I like that because it's objective.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is like... And
you're still a Bitcoiner if you have less than one Bitcoin in self-custody.
100%.
But it's an interesting thought process to go through.
Totally. This is kind of having significant wealth, let's say, yeah, in Bitcoin as savings, right? And with everybody here, you know, we're all basically guessing. So every company that's here has their own numbers and we can kind of extrapolate from there. But it's really hard to make these estimates. And like if you define a Bitcoiner as somebody who has any amount in self-custody,
okay,
let's say, seems from the conversation today that we're probably looking at way less than 1 million people.
Probably any amount of Bitcoin in self-custody?
Well, okay, any, like, meaning non-dust amount.
Like more than 1 million sats.
Let's say more than 1 million sats. If you have $1,000 in Bitcoin,
yeah,
that can kind of, you can start considering that some to be some savings, right? And the numbers in are not as bullish as the numbers you hear a lot of times, you know, right, mentioned in this context. People like to talk about millions of users, tens of millions of users. The current cohort of Bitcoiners is still pretty small, which I guess is, and you can take an optimistic point of view, which is that there's a lot of growth still ahead. But yeah, like how many people even tune into Bitcoin podcasts? I think it's in the hundreds of thousands.
It's probably like 100,000.
Yeah, it's not in millions. How big is Bitcoin Twitter?
It's like 150,000.
That's probably correct. How big is Noster in terms of active users?
70,000.
Probably about half that. My estimate is that Noster is about half of Bitcoin Twitter. But it's the better.
It's the better half?
It's the better half. And there are fewer, you know, paper Bitcoin summer people on Noster. There are some, but like there are way more of those types of guys on Bitcoin Twitter, I think. But yeah, lots of growth.
But I mean, the real question is, like, I mean, I don't think we came up to, like, a good actionable solution on how to grow the pod. I've never been more bullish on Bitcoin. But in terms of new people coming in and using Bitcoin, I feel like we've stalled out a little bit.
I agree. And I think about that a lot in the context of Primal. So even though Primal is a Noster client with a Bitcoin wallet kind of built in, Noster itself is still very much a kind of social network for Bitcoiners, which is fine by me. At Primal, we want to focus on making it amazing for Bitcoiners. And of course, everyone is welcome. It's just that we have a lot of Bitcoin content already. And if you're a Bitcoiner, you're more likely to stay if you sign up. So I think we can do a lot to make both Noster and Primal much nicer for Bitcoiners. And one of the things that I would love to do in an upcoming release of Primal is make it possible to get onboarded, to onboard new Bitcoiners, kind of new coiners, in a way that gets them up to speed with some basic content. So whoever is onboarding can recommend people to follow, articles to read, videos to watch, etc. Stuff that already exists on Noster, but do that in such a way that it's very nice and smooth and seamless. You know, kind of get onboarded using this invite code.
Getting started.
Like, let's say Bitcoin 101 in terms of follows and content. And then if we can nail that UX, that can scale to any subject, right?
Right.
Because eventually I think Noster gets everyone. And at this early stage, it's all about which groups are interested in this type of stuff.
And so, but how do you think that looks? Is that like the user is creating like a custom getting started pack and then they get like a link or something that they share, or?
Yeah. So for example, any user should be able to create this invite pack that contains suggested follows and suggested content for any topic. People who get that invite code or invite link can, you know, get really nice UX where they can opt in or out of these recommended, follows and content. And in theory, get up to speed pretty quickly with any subject area. And then you leave it in the hands of the content creator or whoever is creating this invite to curate whatever they think is interesting and relevant for that subject area. That way it's not Primal deciding what everybody should read when it comes to Bitcoin, but subject area experts are people who are trusted either by their friends or by their audience, just providing great UX for them to get onboarded and get started with a certain topic. I think that would be really nice to have. Like, we always need to go back and think, okay, why would anybody be on Noster? Why would anybody be on Primal? Like, what's in it, like, for the user? And this could be, given that Noster is a very diverse, very kind of capable protocol for all different content types, like social feeds, long-form textual content, long-form video content, etc. I think this type of feature set is well-suited for Noster. This could be a nice addition to both Noster and Primal.
No, I like that. I mean, I would use it all the time. I mean, when I onboard someone, and I've onboarded way too many people, I'm just dropping them so many links.
Yeah.
Right. So instead, this would just be one link.
Yeah.
And it would just like send them off to the races.
Usually it's overwhelming both for the person.
Yeah. You don't want to give them too much recommendations too. And I like, it kind of solves the, I mean, Primal's gotten a lot of shit for like how we were handling follows in the beginning. Like in terms of like recommending people to follow people and everyone has an opinion on who you recommend and who you don't recommend, whatnot. And there's no perfect solution there. I do think if you join Noster and you have no recommended follows, you're actually in a horrible situation. I mean, I've seen this firsthand. I've onboarded someone to Amethyst, for instance, and they just get greeted with a blank feed and they have no idea who to follow. So there's a middle ground somewhere there, and it's probably giving the users the ability when they invite someone to give them a custom curated experience. So, I mean, the content piece is cool, right? Give them podcasts, give them articles. But I think the follow piece can be almost as important, if not more important, because if I'm bringing a new Bitcoiner into the space, it's incredibly powerful for me to be like, these 60 people, like, I intimately trust and I think they will guide you. And then the next, you know, year, 2 years while they're using Primal, they're able to constantly engage with those people.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we started off with basically no follow lists, like onboarding people and giving them no feed almost. So that's bad.
Literally troubleshooted someone today, one of our founders, where he was like, look, like when I open Primal, I have an empty feed. Mm. And I checked and he had zero follows. Mm. He was following zero people. So of course he had an empty feed because it defaulted to latest. And he wasn't following anybody, so there was nothing there. And as soon as I had him follow me and a couple other people, the feed populated. But yeah, for a little bit there, he was just like, what's going on? Like, why is this broken?
Yeah, and the recommended follows, the way we do them now, are problematic in a couple of different ways. Like, they solve that problem of empty feeds and stuff like that. So at least it's not terrible. But the two big problems are, well, number one, Primal decides who the accounts are to follow in all these categories, and that's not ideal.
Centralized.
Yeah.
And also doesn't scale well, period.
Yeah. And, you know, it really should be more sophisticated than that, and we're kind of working on that. You should be able to just, based on interest and categories.
Well, right now it is interest-based, right?
It is. And you kind of select your interests in Primal, and then we tell you, oh, based on your interest, we are, you know, we're recommending these 261 follows. Do you want to see them or just go next? People go next. They don't even usually like read what we said. So people, you know, end up in the states of, why am I following these people? I never wanted that. And that's the second problem, right? So the first problem is Primal decides who to follow. And second problem is actual users get surprised that they're following people and that's not what they're expecting. So I think as we get more competent at creating kind of high signal feeds, we can fine tune this experience where, you know, we don't need to auto follow anyone for the new users. We can let them discover, you know, follow packs that are created by just about anyone.
What is it right now? Right now it's like guided opt-in, right? Or no?
Yeah, you can say it's a guided opt-in. So when you onboard on Primal, currently you have to select at least one category of people you're interested in.
You like force interest category selection.
Exactly. So you have to select at least
Bitcoin.
One. You select Bitcoin. We say, here are the 65 people we recommend.
Right.
And we don't even show the list. We say, just to not clutter the UI, we say, you know, we're going to recommend 61 followers. Do you want to see them? And then if you say yes, you can go and edit and choose and choose and up. But it's still suffering.
So people are just clicking through that.
Yeah. People,
and they're like, oh, I auto-followed these
That's
people.
Right. So I think what happens is people go through the onboarding process. They say, I'm interested in these five categories. Then the next screen tells them you're going to follow 80 people.
Right.
They don't read that. They go next, next, next. And they get a feed, which is kind of latest posts by those accounts, which is not even a great feed.
Yeah.
No. But it's better than nothing. And
they at least see activity.
Yeah, there's stuff
because activity begets activity, right?
It's true.
You don't want to like be onboarded to a ghost town.
I think that's one of the weakest aspects of Noster in general. This whole UX of getting onboarded and the first run user experience and the type
and then
of
they
content.
Leave
and then people
and leave. And I've noticed it's easier to onboard someone fresh than someone who had a bad taste in their mouth. Like yeah. once they have the first touch point, if that first touch point isn't a good first touch point, they're gone. Like yeah. they'll come back in 2 years or something.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't get too many chances to make that first impression.
Yeah.
And that's something that needs to be fixed. And like people think we have an onboarding problem in Oster. I don't think that's the case. We have a churn problem. We
right.
have
there's no retention.
1% of people stay.
Right. Okay. I mean, I'm pretty excited about the like getting started packs. I think in general, like if we give power users more tools and then see how they use them and then you iterate from there. It's just like a great trade-off balance. It accomplishes a bunch of things. It doesn't introduce new centralization because you're actually just giving the power, you're giving the users the tools to do as they please.
Yeah.
And just in general in my life, like this was something, I mean, I was just, we hosted a major conference at Belmont University in Nashville 2 weeks ago. And we had a Noster panel with me and Derek and Sean, which I put on the feed. So some of you freaks might have listened to it. And one of the conversations I had, one of the topics we talked about was like children and social media. And because we were all parents.
Yeah.
Derek is a little bit ahead of me and Sean. But
a little behind me.
Yeah, a little behind you. But we're all parents, right? And it's something I think about all the time is like, what is the healthy experience with social media? And a lot of times I just get blackpilled. I'm like, there's no healthy experience with social media. But I think the answer is somewhere it's at a place where you give parents tools and then, you know, let them be good parents.
Yeah.
Right. And have faith that parents will practice responsibility and be good parents, but to give them the tools. And so as we're building out Primal, my thought is to basically empower users, give them the tools and let them take responsibility over their lives, but make those tools as powerful as possible and as granular as possible and configurable as possible so that they can really curate how they experience, you know, the digital global square.
Yeah, it also helps to have, you know, product builders' interests aligned with those of the users, which is not the right. case in any of the legacy media systems. So you basically have no chance there. Like, we are cattle to be milked, you know.
Yeah. It's just a data surveillance play
exactly.
for the ad model. And now with AI, it's even more so.
Yeah. And Noster potentially gives us a way to turn that around because we have kind of payments built into the network and potentially different ways to monetize. As you know, Primal currently monetizes directly from the users.
Right.
We have the premium tier for premium users and also the pro tier for creators and professionals. And the only time we ever make money is if our users are satisfied.
Right. We don't sell ads. We're
yeah.
not
yeah.
surveilling users and selling that data.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the live streaming that we just added, because, I mean, the freaks know that I was very excited about it. I mean, the irony of this whole thing is we're just doing this audio only. By the way, freaks, we have a beautiful view, but we're doing an audio only non-live Dispatch. But Dispatch historically has been a live show. And by the way, freaks, I got the inspiration. Gigi and Pablo have an awesome podcast. That's just like them walking through the streets of Madeira with a phone. And I think it's amazing. Like the audio quality is kind of questionable, but the content's great and the conversations are interesting. So I might do this more often, especially when I'm traveling. I'll probably do this more often. So hopefully the audio quality isn't too horrible. But anyway, live streaming. I'm super excited about the live streaming. I think we hit Bitcoin here. I was gonna say hit gold, but I think we hit Bitcoin here. It feels good. It just feels right. How are you thinking about live streaming in Primal?
It does feel good. So the live streaming feature in Primal Apps was released a few weeks ago. And of course, it's based on the open spec that was created years ago by Kieran and others, and was available in ZapStream for a long time. And it was kind of one of those magical moments in Noster. Actually, it got me a little by surprise. Like, I didn't know that so many of our users didn't either think that was possible or got surprised.
Right.
Where we launched the player and they were like, oh, look, Noster is amazing. I can see ZapStream on Primal.
Yeah.
Where it is kind of pretty wild that this open spec exists, that anyone can create a stream without permission and broadcast a Noster event that any Noster client can decide to present to their users in any way they wish. Anybody can create a stream to the extent that they can broadcast
it. Any app can pull it up.
Any app can decide how to show that UI. We maybe innovated a little bit in terms of UI. We just like to implement clean UIs that
made it pretty.
Yeah, exactly. Made it pretty, made it work. And we wanted to definitely give a lot of real estate to live zaps and top zaps and so forth.
It's all about the zaps.
You know, if we're talking about turning this around in terms of the way that the internet is being monetized, well, we need to lean into stuff like this. And like Gigi said, you know, you don't need to harvest the eyeballs of a billion people to create something great. I completely agree with that. And the way we do things in Primal is kind of, we're trying to make that a reality to the extent that, you know, we can, within our user base anyway. And hopefully at some point in the future, we end up with a much more high signal content on Noster. Like Noster can't really compete with the TikToks of the world.
Right.
I mean, theoretically it can, but we're not going to create a better TikTok than TikTok, nor should we try.
It's a race to the bottom. It's a race to the bottom. Experience.
Exactly. It's like really catering to the lowest common denominator, kind of plugging into your reptilian brains and creating slot machines for the mind is the best way to monetize attention on the internet. And there are all kinds of problems with that that we don't even need to get into now. Everybody understands that. It's kind of interesting that actually that topic is not controversial in the mainstream at all.
It's relatively recent.
Yeah. People are kind of looking at, legacy social media almost in a similar kind of way that they look at junk food.
Or drugs or whatever. It's almost like a heroin addiction.
Yeah. And that's by design.
People talk about, like, opioids are horrible, but it's millions of users of opioids. Like, billions of people use Facebook products. The only thing stopping Facebook from growing is human population. They need more babies born. They've saturated the globe and addicted them to their algorithms.
It's incredible how successful they've been at this.
Yeah.
So the only way to monetize the internet, you know, since the beginning now has been advertising. And the best way to milk as much revenue and profits as you can is to kind of do what we said just previously with catering to the lowest common denominator. And we get the situation that we get today. But then I think, like we said, you know, things might be turning around in terms of people waking up to this and, you know, saying, I don't want to scroll through my Doom feeds for the same reason that I don't want to eat junk food. You know,
right.
I respect myself, so I don't want to do this. So I think in some ways, Noster can provide an alternative to this. And I'm interested in that.
So where does live streaming pop into this?
I mean, live stream is just one content type. I think on Noster, we will have all of the content types out there. Live streaming is a very interesting content type. And live streaming on Noster pretty much assumes that you can, you know, zap. You can send micropayments from your Noster client.
I mean, I think one of the coolest parts is So for better or for worse, and like obviously I'm a streamer, both Rabbit Hole Recap and Still Dispatch are primarily
not
live
today
shows.
But most days you're a streamer.
Most days a streamer. And also fortunately, and I, you know, I think this is one of my superpowers, is like my family doesn't rely on income from my streams to pay the rent and survive, right?
Yep.
But a lot of people do. And so they're using YouTube is the big one, obviously. Rumble is getting quite large. Then you have Twitch, you have Kick. Like there's huge billion-dollar businesses built off the back of the streamers. They're all built on the ad model. And they can all deplatform you at will, like literally at any point. And for almost all streamers, there's diversification in platforms, and a lot of them will stream to multiple platforms, but it's like one platform is their bread and butter. Like that's their platform. Like their Twitch streamer, like that's their fucking platform. And they can get deplatformed at will. And what's cool about this is, well, right now, like Primal doesn't offer streaming as a service, like on the streamer side. I think people should expect that will happen in the future, but it doesn't currently right now. But for the sake of this conversation, what's super interesting to me is you have your Nostr account, you have your NPub that is completely separate from Primal, the app, right? You can generate that offline even if you want to. You can generate it in a different app. You can generate it wherever you want. That's attached to your social graph, so who you follow and who follows you. Completely independent of Primal, completely independent of any other app. And then you can choose your streaming provider, or you can even self-host. Kieran has something called ZapStream Core that people can, it's a little bit early still, but he's iterating and improving it. But like you can self-host the streaming solution yourself and stream out to Nostr in a standardized way, or you can use something like ZapStream. I expect other streaming providers to pop up, including Primal. And so you separate the pieces. You're separating all the pieces. So if for some reason Primal turns evil and decides you're no longer going to stream with them, they can't stop your followers from following you, and they can't stop you from streaming. And you literally have zero friction of switching to another streaming provider or self-hosting it yourself. Like people are sleeping on that. That's incredibly powerful. And then, of course, then you put Bitcoin payments built into it. You give users choice of how they want to view it. I think Nostr does a really good job of how they do video viewing. Like you can literally just download any app you want that supports this. Watch it. How you have the same exact chat. The chats aren't bifurcated. They're not separated. You have the same zaps. It's like the coolest fucking thing. Like to me, it blows my mind. Like I mean, I'm like sitting there live. And I'm like, it's all coming together, you know?
It totally is. And this point is kind of maybe underappreciated. Nostr is unique in this regard.
Yeah.
There is no competing network with these characteristics. And these are very important kind of fundamental characteristics of self-sovereign identity.
Yep.
And also the ability to stand up any part of the infrastructure. But on top of that, evidence that all different kinds of infrastructure are being stood up by a bunch of different actors. It's not only that this is possible, it's actually happening.
Right.
So the ecosystem around Nostr is growing without any central planning or coordination.
And you can't manufacture that.
No amount of money. People have tried.
There are conspiracy theories that like Odell is manufacturing it. Like Odell is going with the water. Like the water is flowing, and I witnessed the river be born, and I'm going along for the ride. Like that's crazy. Like to me, like people do not like you can have like $100 million in a shitcoin pre-mine, and you try and manufacture this, and you cannot manufacture a top-down.
Many such cases,
yeah.
And has failed every time. It's very, very interesting. You can't kind of pay for kind of grassroots uprising, which is kind of what we're seeing here on Nostr. And even though, you know, we've been doing this for a few years now, and we've encountered many users and content creators. And it's true, you know, that beyond this initial cohort of users in Oster who are very aligned with these values, it's true that the rest of the world doesn't really care that much about self-sovereignty in terms of users, but creators care.
Right. It's their livelihood.
It's their livelihood, and many of them have been burnt multiple times. They know exactly where their lines are.
And even if it's not a money thing, for me, it's not a money thing, but it's like a time thing. Like, I'm putting my time into this, and like, you're just going to rug me.
Yeah.
You can go fuck yourself.
Yeah. So that's very encouraging, because the creators do care about this. And we have, I think, on Oster, we have something very valuable and unique to offer. And to the extent that we can build out the network in terms of the tools and the experience for end users and stuff like that, which is still a grind, but we're getting better at this. I think we're very soon going to be at the place where they can, shield this to their users with a straight face, you know, come follow me here and things are going to work,
right,
etc. And what some think as their kind of backup account, you know, in case they get,
deplatformed somewhere else.
Elsewhere. I think what actually it ends up being is their final destination on the internet.
Well, let's talk about sovereign. Let's talk about this idea of like the backup account, because I have heard this many times. I'm not a backup type of guy. You should back up and check your backups. Like all your things,
not
right.
That kind of backup.
But like, I'm like more like I go all in on things, right? You just found me in a poker game. I made my money back by going all in.
Humble brag.
Like, I made my money back. I didn't say I made money. I like barely got up. But anyway, I get it, right? I get it. It's like, okay, set up, you know, download Primal, your favorite app store, set it up. Like, you have this backup just in case, you know, YouTube fucks you or Facebook fucks you or TikTok, whatever. And you have it and you can rely on it. And no matter what, that's the source of truth. And like, that's true. All of that is true. It's factually correct. But I'm offended by the narrative. I'm offended by the narrative because it feels like, it feels like Noster's the mistress. You know, it feels like you have a relationship. You have a relationship with YouTube and you have kids with YouTube. And like, there's a lot of things going well over there, but you still love Noster. You know, you still love Noster, but unless it's convenient for you, you're not going to come to it. So I'm curious, how do you think about it? Because that's how I think about it. And it kind of grinds me.
I'm also offended by it. and the thing is, it can be presented that way to content creators who are new to this. And that's why I said it's not really, it can start as kind of being your backup as a content creator. But what it actually is your final destination on the internet.
I like that.
Yeah.
Or alternative, like the source of truth.
Yeah.
Like instead of the backup, it's the first.
Yeah.
Like you can still post to Twitter, Twitch, wherever.
Yeah.
But the source of truth, the thing that's actually signed that can't be taken away from you, is Noster.
Yes.
And then you cross-post it everywhere else. But if I want to make sure it's not a deep fake, I'm going to actually go and check Noster. Or I want to make sure that they're not trying to stop you from posting something, I'm going to go check Noster.
Yeah. And I think that is something that more and more creators resonate with. We just need to build better tools and keep onboarding.
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one thing was like having a stable app. And humbly, like, we're just getting there.
Totally.
Like, it was a grind.
I still think it's janky.
It's a little bit janky still.
I'm referring to Primal, to be specific. But it's better than it's been, previously.
Massive progress.
Yeah. And you don't need to squint to see, you know, before long we'll match and exceed the top quality consumer apps.
Yeah, we have to exceed.
Yeah.
It can't just be, there should be no trade-offs on UX. So the other topic I wanted to cover is AI. And I want to cover it from two sides. The first is AI slop and deepfakes. And then the second piece is UX and AI and how users experience Primal. I mean, and I'll use, the freaks know that I basically didn't use any other social media except for Twitter and then X for the last 10 plus years. Like, I deleted my Facebook, deleted my LinkedIn, never had a TikTok, deleted my Telegram. Big deleter. I'm a big deleter over here, guys. And X is doing a really, Elon's doing a really good job of mixing AI with Grok into the user experience. He's obviously like, there's no privacy involved. He's surveilling the fuck out of you. He's still selling ads, using your data. There's a bunch of bad aspects to it. But from
we don't know what happens behind the scenes. Now and it is open source.
And also it's forever too. Yeah. Like if you, there was one of our founders here, I think like nailed it on the head. It's like, you're like uploading your soul to these people's proprietary clouds. And then like, you don't know what they're going to use it for in 10 years. Right. Like, there's no agency there. But that being said, the UX of X is like intimately interconnected with Grok now. And then the other piece is there's a ton of AI slop on the platform, and it's just getting started. Like, it's going to get way worse.
Yeah.
And there's going to be tons of deepfakes. There's going to be so many fucking deepfakes. So, I mean, how do you think about AI and Primal going forward on both those facets? And I mean, you can answer in your order or whatever.
Well, first of all, I agree that they built great UX on X around these capabilities, and we need something like that on Oster. And on Oster, we have the opportunity to provide an open alternative to their kind of closed everything app. So on Oster, we have the opportunity to deploy open source models that are working on open data that's available on the public relay network. But yeah, those capabilities are necessary. They're not on our immediate roadmap, but this is something we want to get into at some point in the future. I think they're useful tools that users rightfully expect. And, you know, if we're building freedom tech, I think we can provide a credible, open alternative to all of these closed systems. The open source models are getting better and better, and they still lag the top, closed systems. It remains to be seen how that plays out. There are new updates every few weeks, and
I think it probably gets closer.
I think it gets, that's what I think, but I see how much.
Because there's big gains that are happening, right?
I see a lot of GPU power being deployed by the top players, and we just don't know.
Well, that's a different thing between open models versus proprietary models, because there are open models that are quite GPU intensive, and then you need someone to actually host the model and run the GPUs, right? And then there's ones that are less GPU intensive, and you can self-host them, and those are significantly worse.
Yeah.
Right? But the ones that are GPU, like compute intensive, but open, well, it'll probably get closer, because the way I'm thinking about it is kind of like ASIC development in Bitcoin. But we're talking about software, not hardware, but it'll plateau at a point. Like, they're making massive gains, like Grok 2 to Grok 3 to Grok 4 or whatever. ChatGPT has like the worst naming scheme, but whatever their naming scheme is, has massive improvements. And so the open ones are naturally lagging behind.
Yep.
But when those improvements become more incremental, right, like the difference between the iPhone 16 and the iPhone 17 is way different than the iPhone 9 to 10 or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think we get closer, and it doesn't have to be the best, right? Like, when we were talking about the follows, like you could, I could totally imagine, like we're close, relatively close for efficient open models to parse the primal Nostr data set, like all Nostr notes ever, you know, in the caching server from certain users or whatever, and then be like, you know, just give me like a prompt, like what are you interested in, and just make you a recommended follow list, right? Like, yeah, stuff like that.
All kinds of things that can be done with this.
Yeah.
I mean, Elon announced AI prompt-based feeds.
Yeah.
Which
is the right direction. Sounds, I think that makes sounds sense. Sounds great, right? To me.
Let's see how they work, and you know, like there's some great work being done there. Definitely.
Right. Like, show me this content. You
know? We just need to, like I said, the opportunity here is, and the long-term opportunity, I think, is to provide an open alternative to all of this dystopia tech, basically,
right?
And to do it in a way that's where the creators' interests are aligned with those of their users. So that's kind of how we're, you know, positioning Primal. I'm kind of excited for that battle.
So what are you thinking about? That all makes sense to me. What are you thinking about, like deep fakes and slop bots and like AI slop right now is relatively easy to spot.
Yeah.
It's not going to be.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't thought deeply about this, honestly. For sure, we're going to very quickly get to the point where it's much harder to spot. I think in that context, authenticity, like verifiable authenticity, becomes more important. So content that's actually signed by the user that I follow, that's verifiable, right, actually becomes more valuable. Beyond that, I mean,
I think that's sneaky one of the most powerful parts of Nostr.
Yeah.
Like everyone wants to talk about censorship resistance, permissionlessness, the verifiability.
Yeah.
Is going to become a big thing. And I think the incentives, the way the incentive set up is, it'd be better for humanity if big tech follows along with it and tries to copy it. But I think it's actually quite unlikely.
Like, we just need to offer a credible alternative that does that. And some subset of creators will gravitate towards that. Some subset of users will. Those who like to live free. And, you know, we'll see. It remains to be seen how much gravity we can generate around this network. I'm optimistic. In any case, it will be the type of people that I want to hang out with.
That's true. The ride or dies. So, I mean, like you think about it, it's like right now, today, it's like RHR Dispatch is posted to YouTube, podcast feeds, X, Nostr. The only place you know that it hasn't been altered in the middle by the aforementioned parties, like YouTube. I mean, we have two different hosts, but like the podcast host of our RSS feeds, X, like the only place you know it hasn't been altered is if you view it in a Nostr app.
Yeah.
That is validating signatures and making sure that this is hashed and signed and unchanged.
Yeah.
And that's going to, I mean, that is super important to me because, like, at the end of the day, I have a lot of shitty opinions. You might not agree with them, but they're my shitty opinions. Like, you should be disagreeing with my actual views. You shouldn't be disagreeing with deep fakes of me because you can make me say whatever the fuck you want to make me say with deep fakes. Like, there's enough content out there that you have that ability today. And people are sleeping on this. And I think it will be a big driver of content creators because I think it naturally drives you crazy. Like it's from a point of this is my time commitment and this is my connection with other people and you're stepping in the middle of it and you're breaking it, right? You're it's a violation. You're violating my trust with people I'm trying to connect with.
I agree with all of that. And to get down to the fundamentals, if we are to escape this kind of digital dystopia, we need two elements. We need everyone to hold their keys and sign their content with their keys.
Yep.
And we need different actors to stand up every part of the infrastructure. Both of those things need to be kind of conditions need to be met for a resilient network to exist. And we only see evidence of this happening in Noster. Early days, but Noster has no competitors in this regard. There are some networks out there where people hold their own keys. Not too many. I think Farcaster is the only one, actually. Yeah. So good.
There's probably a couple other ones that we just aren't aware of.
Probably. Means they're too small.
Or like Base, Coinbase, I think they hold keys, right?
Yeah, that's kind of part of the same network.
Is it Farcaster?
I'm not even sure, to be quite honest with you. But there is
I think Farcaster's on Ethereum and Base is on Coinbase's Ethereum layer 2 base. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
So they're doomed. So my point is, even in the cases where people hold their keys in other networks, there's zero evidence that anyone's standing up any infrastructure.
Right.
That's only happening on Noster. And both of those conditions need to be met for a network to be resilient and sovereign.
Okay, one more topic and then we're going to get back to our people. You mentioned holding keys. So constantly, first of all, we're Bitcoiners first. That's how we met. That's been my life for way too long, both a good way and a bad way. Holding keys is hard for people, and people freak out about my Noster key gets compromised, and then my social identity is compromised. Obviously, it's still very early days. We're not like promising things, but what like how do you think about that problem? How do we mitigate that? It's a problem that ultimately comes down to personal responsibility. So there's no quote unquote solution, but how do we solve that problem?
So I'd say two things. So this whole scenario and the feature, the ability to do key rotation and kind of recover your Noster identity in these situations, that's something that needs to be still figured out on Noster. And I'm very optimistic that we can figure this out. But on the other hand, it's kind of important for people to understand the value of holding your key and the repercussions of losing it. That, you know, it's not a simple event when you lose a key. Let's say when some money is on the line, when you're securing your Bitcoin. I think for the society to move in this direction, there needs to be an increased awareness of the importance of holding your keys. And I can already see or hear many people saying, that's never going to happen, and blah, blah, blah. I think it's going to happen. And I think it's not that hard. And I've heard you make the analogy of, you know, if you can drive a car, you have the ability to, self-custody Bitcoin and your own online identity. I think it's a great analogy because it's a powerful technology that you're using that, if used incorrectly, can have very extreme consequences, let's say with car driving. But it's important enough that most people have figured this out and are able to do it without any issues. So especially when we kind of build slightly better tools to enable this. I don't think the solution is to hide this from the user, by the way.
Right.
I'm not into this. People need to understand what the keys are and why they're holding them. And I don't think that's hard to understand. And you can kind of see this optimistic view of the future where people are self-sovereign, both in terms of their online identity and speech, as well as their wealth and transactions. And maybe there isn't some sort of future where only the minority of sovereign individuals do this. Fine. I mean, we are here to build the tools and people can decide to use them if they want to.
Yeah, I mean, I think what people don't, first of all, I think we can be creative about different tools we can give users to have different trust models. I think there's probably something there with webs of trust. I really think like you could even imagine like type in like a Noster multi-sig type of scenario.
Yeah.
Where you have users that you trust, or maybe you're an organization and it's multiple people are holding, you know, fragments of a key or whatnot. So there's something there. And then the other piece that I would just add to people is like, if your solution is that like a centralized tech company is giving you a username and password, like we can already do this on Noster today. Like there might I do not think this is the best path for Primal, but other people may do this, is like they could literally just custody your NSEC for you, your private key for you, and give you the typical username password flow. And if you get your account compromised or locked out or you lose your password or whatever, then you contact support just like you contact X support, like the same exact setup that X is currently using, you can do on Noster today in a very straightforward centralized infrastructure. I don't think that's the solution, but most people that are arguing that the current state of Noster, where you have these single private keys that are controlling everything, use that as the counter argument, where they're like, oh, yeah, like username password with Twitter or Facebook or whatever is better. Like we can literally do that today. So that to me is like it's a apples and orange bullshit argument. But I think we can provide solutions to people. I think there'll be interesting hardware things, like, and it depends on what the user is. Like if you are just an average user, like having it on the secure element of your phone backed up into iCloud is probably a great trade-off model. Like Apple is not going to try and compromise you. The NSA is not in your threat model. Everything will be fine. It'll actually probably work more seamlessly than big tech right now. But if you are, you know, the president of a country, you know, like maybe you have a
Sticks
hardware
might be a little higher.
Yeah, yes. You have a hardware solution.
Yes.
You know, you have a hardware solution where maybe you have multiple keys and there needs to be a threshold signature to make it happen. And everything is kept offline and it's a whole 45-minute process to send a post because you're the fucking president of a country. And that's what the stakes are, right? That's what matters. And the cool part is that's all completely separate from the protocol. Like we don't need to have any consensus on any of that. These can all be tools that are built right on top, right?
That's a great point. I mean, the custodial scenario was supported from day one. You could have implemented that easily. And there have been clients who have done that.
Right.
So it's all upside from there. You know, you can have people holding their keys and then you can have multi-sig setups and you have hardware involved. All of this is on the table and it can be built.
Yeah. And now specifically, like if the multi-sig piece is interesting to any of you freaks that are listening or developers, like check out the Froster project. They're working on, they're using Frost to do multi-sig on Noster. It's quite compelling, really interesting to me. I think there's different things that can be done there to make it very user-friendly as well. Anyway, Miljan, this was a great chat. I'm glad we did it. Hopefully the freaks find it helpful. Please give me your feedback. If I get no feedback, I'm going to do more things like this. So we're going to default to yes. Miljan, final thoughts before we get back to everybody.
Final thoughts. Yeah, keep holding your keys. Keep posting those notes. Keep onboarding your friends and family. Help us grow the network. And on our side, we're going to keep building the tools. That is a guarantee.
I love it. Freaks, if you haven't already, download Primal in your favorite app store or go to primal.net. We'd love to have you. And any feedback is appreciated. It's a grind. It's a long grind. But Miljan and his team are best in the business and mission focused.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers, sir.
Fun chat.
Peace. Stay humble, stack sats.